P.J. Hoori.
Lars Kepler, the hypnotist. It takes a few moments for her to understand what she is looking at. It's Shulman, on his back in front of the door. Blood is pumping from a wound in his throat, spurting wearily with the rhythm of his fading pulse. A dark red pool is spreading across the entire floor. Sim stares up at the ceiling, his eyelids trembling. His mouth is open and slack. Suddenly, she hears footsteps behind her in the hall. The young woman is returning. Her whole body is shaking, and she raises a finger to her lips.
"We can't get out that way. The door is locked with a key,"
she whispers to Simone.
"Who? My little brother. But why? He thinks he killed the hypnotist. He didn't see. He thinks..."
Something crashes to the floor in the kitchen.
"Evelyn! What are you doing?"
shouts Joseph Eck.
"Get back in here!"
Niall Ferguson, The Ascent of Money. It might indeed be assumed that the Rothschilds needed war. It was war, after all, that had generated Nathan Rothschild's biggest deal. Without wars, 19th century states would have had little need to issue bonds. As we have seen, however, wars tended to hit the price of existing bonds by increasing the risk that, like 16th century Venice, a debtor state would fail to meet its interest payments in the event of defeat and losses of territory. By the middle of the 19th century, the Rothschilds had evolved from traders into fund managers, carefully tending to their own vast portfolio of government bonds. Now, having made their money, they stood to lose more than they gained from conflict. I cease being a mere observer and decide to join in the trance. I try to make my heart keep time with the beats. I close my eyes and empty my mind. But the cold and the wind won't allow me to go further than that. I need to change position again. I open my eyes and notice that the shaman is holding a few feathers in one hand, possibly from some rare local bird. According to traditions throughout the world, birds are the messengers of the gods. They help the shaman rise up and speak with the spirits. Yao has his eyes open too. Only the shaman will enter that ecstatic state. Hiccup, the Viking who was seasick. Cressida Cowell. So Hiccup went to see the oldest Viking of all, Old Wrinkly himself, whose barnacled beard fell down to his toes.
"Your saltiness,"
he whispered, for Hiccup had beautiful manners.
"Do Vikings ever get frightened?"
"Little grandson," wheezed Old Wrinkly, and his breath was like being kissed by a mackerel. "I've been wondering about the answer to that question myself. The sea is full of trials and terrors, but it is also full of marvels and miracles. Go to sea, and you can tell me if Vikings ever get frightened."
As he headed for home, that stormy wind filled the sails, and the boat skimmed over the ocean at 1,000 miles an hour. Out of the depths of the sea came shoals of flying fish, and leaping dolphins, and strange whales with horns like unicorns. There were eels that lit up like light bulbs, and nameless things with enormous eyes that no one had ever seen before. All following Hiccup the Viking as he steered that ship at tremendous speed towards home.
I got a bit aggressive towards the end there. I was like, in your face.
The end.